from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Joining me from Pinehurst is Bob Herrick of SI Golf and author of Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. Welcome to Talking Golf, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Ann. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Before we get into a lot of detail, and I got into a lot of this in my intro earlier in the show, what are your overall thoughts so far this week of Pinehurst number 2 in the U.S. Open?
Well, you know, there's a reason they bring it here. The golf course is outstanding, you know, and it really tests these guys. And when you get good weather and it's not raining and it's not soft, you know, you see the test it presents. And, you know, these guys have really been on edge. It's that kind of golf course. And I think once in a while, this is really good. And, you know, you have to really be playing great to withstand it. And even when you are playing great, I mean, look at what happened to Ludwig yesterday and Tony Finau. I mean, disaster sort of lurks. And that's why these guys are so on edge, because that sort of thing can happen without a whole lot going wrong.
Absolutely. It's so tough. You just have to be so precise and so patient and execute the number, the yardage, you know, exactly, or, you know, and even get unlucky. I mean, you could be playing great and have a couple unlucky. Well, that's golf. But on this course, you know, it's easy to have an unlucky bounce or to get into that native area on, you know, in the sand or on those little bushes in there. So there's plenty of obstacles. And I just think it's a brutal test. But maybe that's why the ratings were so good. After, I think the ratings came out on NBC and it was, you know, up. The ratings were great. And I just think it provides for such a compelling show, right? Because the best players in the world are so tested, and disaster can strike at any second with these guys.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is one of the reasons they're going to come back here. You know, this is an iconic course, and I think people get to know it. It's a place that, you know, if you have the means, you can come play it. And all those things factored in, I think, make for a lot of interest.
Let's talk about Bryson DeChambeau, because he has really emerged as somewhat of a champion of the people. I mean, they're just loving this guy, and he says the atmosphere there, Bob, feels like a Ryder Cup. Talk a little bit about Bryson DeChambeau and how his whole image has really changed.
Yeah, look, he's transformed a lot since he won the U.S. Open 4 years ago. I mean, that was during the period when he gained all that weight. Remember, he was eating like crazy to gain weight and put on muscle and actually probably got unhealthy in the process and realized it was injured a lot towards the end of 2021 and into 2022. Then he went to LIV. You know, he was part of the lawsuit against the PGA Tour. There was a lot of animosity. There still is, frankly. You know, there still is a divide, and there's bad feelings about all that's transpired. But, you know, I think what we're seeing here this year is, when you put all that aside and you get these really good players all together, you know, that sort of rises above it. And Bryson's been a factor at all three majors. Very easily could have won the PGA, was right there, was in contention at the Masters, led after the first round before fading a little bit, but still tied for sixth. And here he is again. You know, now he's leading. And he has become popular. You know, he started a YouTube channel. He does a lot of things for the fans. He's toned down a little bit of the rhetoric that surrounds LIV and the divide, and has spoken about, you know, let's try to have peace, let's try to work this out. You know, frankly, I'm not sure what that's going to look like yet and how that will happen. There's so many obstacles to that, I think. But still, I think it's a lot better than the other way, which pushed the divide that still frankly exists, but it doesn't help to keep pushing it.
Right. And Bryson, I think, is helping to alleviate a little bit of that tension between Liv and the PGA Tour, because the fans are really embracing him. And you know, in his press conference, he got, you know, very personal. He said, if you're in a bad spot, get some good people around you, give yourself a new perspective on life and get after it and show them who you are, who you truly are. I know he lost his father within the last couple years, and he must have been in a situation that personally that might have been a lot worse off than we might even know, right? Because I just feel like he's sounding, you know, so much mature now that he's learned so much from these experiences. So maybe going to live was really good for him. Maybe that time off from playing all the time, you could practice more and do, you know, pursue other things. Maybe it's been a really, well, of course, the money's been great, but aside from that, it might have been a really great experience overall for him. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right about his dad. That probably was a factor. I also think he came to terms with his career. You know, when he was going to live, he was injured. You know, he had a bad wrist injury that required surgery in 2022. He had a hip problem. That's why he was playing bad. And, you know, he took the money, in part, I think, because he wasn't sure what the future held. And yet, then he finally started to get back on the road to health. First of all, he took care of himself. He got some of that weight off, started to eat better. I don't know if there was anything more behind the scenes, like you mentioned. It's certainly possible. You know, but getting in a better place. Remember, he used to complain about his equipment. He used to complain about a lot of things. And he seemed to kind of try to get all that stuff straightened out. And, you know, last year, you didn't see a lot of it. If you don't watch Liv, you know, he won twice out there. He shot a 58 at the Greenbrier. And he contended at the PGA that Brooks won. You know, he finished fourth there. You know, so he started to turn it around. He started to turn his game around. And let's be honest, he's fun to watch. You know, he hits it a mile, and his short game has improved. And, man, he's made a lot of putts, you know, a lot of short putts, the testy putts. So, you know, I think it's fascinating to see what happens today with him.
Oh, absolutely. And I love the fact that he has surrounded himself with an incredible team. He seems so happy now. And even his coaches, they were talking about this yesterday after the round. They're recording his swings in 3D and looking at things like body tilt. And, I mean, there is he looks at every single inch of you know, his body and his swing and analyzes it. It's just incredible, the data that goes into Bryson DeChambeau and his golf swing and his golf clubs. I love it. He is a mad scientist for
mad
sure.
Yep, he's still the mad scientist. That moniker sticks from all the way back.
So let's look at the three guys behind him: Matthew Pavon, Patrick Cantlay, Rory McIlroy. Which one of those guys do you think will push Bryson the most today?
Well, I think the guy who really needs to is Rory. You know, I mean, here's Rory again. It's been 10 years since he's won a major. It's almost like he's trying to win his first. You know, it's been so long. A lot has changed for him, too. You know, frankly, if he doesn't get it done, he'll rue what happened yesterday. You know, he was in six bunkers. And that means he was off. You know, he several times he missed greens hitting it in a bunker. He only got it up and down two of the six times. You know, he was right there poised to play in the last group with Bryson. He bogeyed two of the last four holes. So, you know, I mean, part of it is you can look at it like, hey, he got some of the bad stuff out of the way. But, you know, does he have another good one in him like Thursday? Pavon is an outlier. I don't know what to make of him right now. I mean, he's just not been in this position much. You know, a year ago this time, he hadn't even won a big tour. You know, he did win on the DP World Tour last year. He won at Torrey Pines this year. Those are great wins. But, you know, are you prepared for this? And then Cantlay, you know, I think we've expected more out of him at this point, frankly. You know, he's he's ranked ninth in the world, and yet he's hardly contended in majors. Now, I was looking it up last night. You know, he has four top tens in majors. He also has four missed cuts, and really, he's not been that close. The last time he was really close was when Tiger won the Masters. You know, Cantlay briefly took the lead on the back nine that day, playing well ahead of Tiger, and then kind of coughed it up, and he ended up tying for ninth. I mean, we certainly think he's got the game to do this. You know, he's...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Won 8 times on the PGA Tour. He's been a highly ranked player. But again, you know, he's not done it. On Thursday when he shot 65, he kind of did it with smoke and mirrors. He only hit 10 greens. But yet yesterday was real steady. You know, he hung in there, didn't make a lot of mistakes. And so maybe that bodes well for him. But, you know, I don't think today you think about going out to shoot 65 or 66. You know, it's going to be tough. I think they might need a little help from Bryson, shoot under par, and get a little help from Bryson for them to be able to win.
And that Patrick Cantlay, Rory McIlroy pairing, that's going to be compelling based on what happened in Rome, you know, the Ryder Cup tension there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, exactly. They're not best buddies. Rory's made that very clear. There was a lot of tension at that Ryder Cup. I don't expect to see that, but you know, they're not going to be a whole lot of banter either. Actually, it might be a good pairing for Rory. Bryson might not have been a good pairing for Rory. I mean, if you start getting into that, the ego stuff where you're trying to hit it out there with him, Rory's used to bombing it by everybody. You know, and so if you're trying to match Bryson off the tee, that might not be a good thing. Maybe playing a group ahead and putting some pressure on is going to be good for him. And I think he'll relish playing with Patrick and wanting to, you know, obviously he's got his eye on a bigger prize and beating more so than just beating Cantlay, but it might be good for him.
We only have like a minute left, but I want to get you back on to talk about your book on Tiger, but he must be just extremely disappointed missing another cut here. And when somebody asked him if this would be his last U.S. Open, Tiger said it may or may not be. What are your thoughts on Tiger at this point? Why does he keep playing?
Well, I just think he loves to compete still, and he wants to try to push through, and he doesn't want to go out this way. But, you know, something's going to have to change. It's not going to change before the Open next month. He's not going to play before the Open. But once the Open's over, you know, I think Tiger needs to reassess. And if he's not going to play again until the Bahamas and not play again until Riviera, well, then what is he doing? It's the same thing. He needs some reps. And he had once spoken about playing once a month. Well, why don't you play once a month in the fall? You know, play September, October, November, December, once each month, or you know, starting in October. Build up a little bit of competitive momentum and learn how to play a month apart. You know, and he's just not, you know, coming in here, he had played 2 rounds since the Masters. It's just not going to work that way. And Tiger still has tons of skills, it's obvious. You know, but there's competitive rust and a lack of sharpness that hurts him.
Bob Herrick, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I want to have you on another time just to talk about your book and Tiger Woods. Just fascinating. Keep up the great work. You're always breaking stories in the golf world.
Thanks so much, Ann. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. Enjoy the final round of the U.S. Open.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.